About a year ago, the Lord blessed our congregation with family, the Adamo family, who have recently become members of the church, and we're going to open by hearing from two of their sons, who are the first two, Matt Adamo and then Andrew Adamo. So let's first have Matt come on up and share.
I'm just going to start out in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your grace and mercy in my life. Thank you that you did not leave me in my trespasses and sins. And thank you for this opportunity to share my testimony. And I pray that you would glorify yourself in everything I say. And that the believers here, that their faith would be strengthened through the testimonies, and those who are unsaved would be led to the knowledge of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to start off reading a verse from Galatians 6, 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And I just want to start off saying that I'm not up here because of anything I've done, and or anything that, any good thing, or it's only because of the cross of Christ. And I hope that I don't boast in anything I've done. So, as most of you know, I grew up in a Christian family. My parents were very faithful for me, to me from a young age. I knew the truth and the gospel for as long as I can remember. I was taught very well. And I believed it, but it was only head knowledge. I only, you know, I knew God was up there. I knew we were down here. I knew I was bad. And I just, you know, often when I was younger, I would be, you know, sorry about my sins, but it wasn't real repentance. It was just sad, mostly because I got punished or something like that. So then, when I got to about, I guess, 12, 13 years old in seventh grade, I started straying. I was always a good kid in general. People at church and at home and my friends all thought I was a Christian or at least really a nice guy. But I started looking for happiness, started looking for satisfaction and pleasure in things of this world. And that lasted all the way until I graduated from high school. And I lived this double life. And I was happy for a lot of the time. You know, I had friends, I had family, you know, I had good times, and I didn't really, tried not to think of eternity and what my life was all about. I just looked for happiness. But I was in a very, very scary position, because I knew that God is the all-powerful, almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing judge. I knew that I knew what was right, what was wrong. I knew that he could see me. I knew the gospel. And I knew that if I died, I was going to hell. But I just didn't think about it. And I sinned anyway. And every time I sinned, it was worse and worse because I knew the truth. And thankfully, very thankfully, my story doesn't end there. God didn't stop me because of my sin. God had mercy on me. I'm just going to read Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 6. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved me, even when I was dead in trespasses and sins, made me alive together with Christ. For by grace I have been saved. And raised me up together and made me sit down together in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And that's how it happened. God really started opening my eyes with really seemingly insignificant incident. One time I was on my laptop and I was typing, and all of a sudden one of my keys came out of my keyboard. So I tried to put it back in, and I was working on it for like 10 minutes. It wasn't working. And finally, I was kind of like, Lord, help me to get this back in. And it popped right back in. And I was shocked. I was at the moment. I just remember like thinking like, God, you weren't supposed to answer my prayers. I'm living my whole life against you. You're not supposed to listen to me. And then it was from that moment on, God, through the next few weeks, this is during the summer of 2011, God started showing me, opening my eyes to His grace in my life. Seeing all these good things I had, I got into the school I wanted, I got the scholarship I wanted, I was living a happy life, I had done a lot of things, and I started realizing all of this, nothing that I had done or nothing that I had was from me. It was all by the grace of God. And He started showing me that His mercy and His love for me, even though I had rejected Him for my entire life. And praise God that He showed me that. And I began to be broken over my sin and see that it wasn't worth it. It was all folly. It was all vanity. Everything I was doing was just for myself. And I knew that I was just taking God's gifts and then rejecting Him. And I knew that that was pointless and would lead me right to hell. So God saved me, and He led me to such peace and such joy that I could never find from anything in this world. No matter how much I looked, no matter how much I worked, no matter how much I did whatever to satisfy or please myself, I knew that when I was saved, I found so much more joy than inexpressible joy. And praise God for His gift. And I'd just like to say to anybody who's listening to me who knows they're not saved, I was in that position, and I figured, you know what? I knew if I died, I was going to hell, but I thought I could wait. I thought that, you know, chances are I'm not going to die. I could live the way I want. I'll get saved later. And let me tell you, that's the worst place to be, and you don't know what you're missing out on. The joy, the fact that God is giving you every breath you take and every beat of your heart is a gift, and we're using it against Him. And there's a verse in Romans that says, do you not know that the goodness of God is meant to lead you to repentance? And please come to repentance today. Today is the day of salvation. You've heard the gospel, and turn from your sins before it's too late.
Amen.
Andrew Adama. Thank you, Matt, for going first. Appreciate that. My story is, I have a story to tell you of how I became free. My story starts very similar to Matt. We both grew up in the same Christian home. We had the same rules. It's a very rare opportunity to grow up in a Christian home. You learn all the ins and outs of Christianity. A lot of you know what I'm talking about. You learn all the rules, but that's what bothered you. That's what bothered me, was all the rules. I thought that Christianity was a prison, and the freedom was outside. I thought that my home was the prison, and that all I needed was just a little taste of this and a little taste of that, and I just needed to get away. So as you can imagine, as I started high school, I was feeling very constricted. I just wanted to try things. And as you can imagine, I started breaking more and more rules. Stuff started getting more and more tense at my house. And it was not a good situation to be in. And just like Matt, I knew I was right and wrong. I knew what I was doing. I knew where I was going. But it bothered me. And as you can imagine, that would lead to like a feeling of unrest, a feeling of guilt inside you. And some of you may be living with that today, knowing where you're going. Anyway, I didn't really pray much.
I knew I was supposed to, but I was like, how can I pray to ask God to save me or to take away my sins or whatever if I'm just going to do them willfully the next day? How can I do that? Like, that's not how it works. So the only thing I ever prayed was that he would just show me the ugliness of what I was doing, where it could lead. That was the only thing I ever prayed. Anyway, so over my sophomore and my junior year, things were getting worse at home. My relationship with my dad was going downhill. And then in July of last year, I was caught in some pretty serious stuff by people outside of my house. And that really woke me up. And I was upset, not because I actually felt sorry for what I did, but because I knew I was going to get in trouble. All of my freedoms that I thought I had, I thought I was getting into, were going to be taken away. I was going to go back to all the rules, back to all the fighting, back to everything at my house. I didn't want that. So when I got home, I was talking to my dad about it. He was obviously very, very bothered by that. And he just told me this. He said, Andrew, you need to get serious with God. I was just, okay, whatever. You know, I'm just going to go downstairs, do my thing, just kind of wait this out, ride out the storm. But then, so I'm sitting in my room, and this is July 13th of last year. And I'm thinking, what does that even mean to get serious with God? Like, I thought I knew everything about Christianity. What does it mean to be serious with him? So I started, the only thing I knew what to do, so I just started praying. And just prayed for like an hour or something. And then eventually I realized this is God answering all the prayers that I prayed before. When I asked him to show me the ugliness of what I was doing, this is what he's showing me, where it could lead. He's showing me where I could end up. And that was the first time I ever thought that God had actually answered one of my prayers. So that was just kind of like a whole new feeling. So I was like, I guess I should keep praying then, right? So I kept praying. And then I was thinking over my whole life, what I had been doing, what I had not been doing. And I thought I was free at the time. But then the more I prayed, the more God showed me that it's like you think that you're running, you think that you're free, and all of a sudden somebody shines a light in, and you really have like this huge weight attached to your foot, and you're like, where did this come from? That's what God showed me that my sin was like. That's what all of our sin is like. And I realized that I couldn't do it. I realized that I couldn't break that chain. I couldn't be a better person. I'd already tried to be a better person. I realized I couldn't do it by myself. So I just kept praying. You know, God, you need to take this out. You need to take away you need to break this chain, because it's not me. And it wasn't until he brought me to that point where I realized that I couldn't do anything, that he could find me and show me that everything wasn't him, that he could do it all for me. So I started asking him that, asking him to come down, to come into my heart for the first time. And I actually really meant it. And also for the first time, I felt real, real sorrow for my sin. And it actually bothered me, because I realized what it really was to God, what it really was doing to him. Like, he gives me, just like Matt said, he gives me so much, and I give him nothing. Is that the way it's supposed to work? Not at all. So that whole night, I just spent praying to him, realizing that I'd spent 17 years running away, and that I was like, I don't deserve any of this, and yet I'm still asking for it, because you promised it. And then, so I started texting, the next morning I started texting a couple of my Christian buddies, and I said, you know, what am I, you know, what should I do, this is what's happening. And they're like, and one of them said, are you expecting a fireworks show to show that you're saved? I was like, yeah, I guess so. He's like, it's not going to come. You just have to walk by faith. So that's what, ever since then, God has kept me on the straight and narrow, walking by faith, praise him for that. And so now I've seen a lot of significant changes in my life, and now all the things that I thought was the prison, all the things that I thought were the rules and the constrictions, is now actually real freedom. And you wouldn't understand unless you could also experience it. So I'm thankful to God for showing me that freedom. In closing, maybe some of you guys can relate to what I'm saying. Grew up in the Christian home, maybe you didn't. Maybe you know right and wrong, and you're looking for the freedom. You think that you have that freedom. You think that the way you're living is true satisfaction. It's not, I promise you. Eventually you'll come to a point where you realize that this is nothing. Like, it's empty. and you need something that's going to, that's actually going to fill you up. And the only thing that can do that is Christ. So I would encourage you to stop running away like I did, because things will only get worse, and just turn to Him, because the trinkets of the world is not worth it, and they're not going to satisfy your soul for eternity. Thank you.
In the book of Revelation, it speaks of God being the Savior of many nations, all tribes and tongues and nations. And what God has done for us in these first three testimonies is first set us with two young men who were raised in a Christian home. And you might say to yourself, well, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I don't have the benefit of that. And our next testimony will be Evan Chu, who will come up and share his, who you'll hear is a completely different story, and it will show us the wide range by which, through which, God saves. So, Evan? For those who don't know, Evan is Grace Posse's fiance, due to be married later this year, Lord willing, and Grace Posse, of course, Bill Posse's daughter, who was one of the founding elders of this church.
Good morning, all. So growing up, I didn't really have a religious background. I was not exposed, nor did I practice any particular religion. Throughout my childhood and teenage years, I was unsure as to whether there was anything more beyond our earthly lives. My parents raised me to be what the world would call a good person. I was being brought up to be a person with good values. But, you know, I really didn't know why I should be good, because I really didn't believe in anything after this life. But I tried to fit in with society's definition of a good person. You know, I was always home early on time after school, didn't do drugs, didn't do anything. But what I thought was a pure heart, you know, after coming here, I knew the Lord knows that it's just a heart laying down with sin and wickedness. So I first heard about the Lord in my early teens when my parents sent me to a daily day camp in the summer. But little did I know it was a Christian camp. The Bible was one of the main focuses of the camp, but most of the kids and I really were there for the fun activities. And we weren't really interested in the Bible. And for a long time, this was the extent and the knowledge of Christianity for me. So about 2.5 years ago, my current fiance invited me to come here to Red Life in Hallidon, New Jersey, which was back then. I heard the gospel preached by Pastor Joe and Pastor Bill. And after the service ended, and the coffee was being served, Pastor Bill pulled me aside, and he spoke to me. He asked me what I really believe, what I truly believe in the existence of God. And he asked, where do you think humans came from? Do you believe that we came from dirt, or we were used to be slime and we evolved? So after some more words of encouragement from my future father-in-law, and mostly silence for me, he gave me a Bible. He said, you know what? Start reading this, but before you read it, ask yourself, God, do you exist? So after a few more church services and more, you know, conversations with the people of the church, Bread of Life, I suddenly became convicted. I realized that it doesn't matter what I've done in the past, what my track record is, no matter how good or how bad it is. Bottom line is that one day I would face judgment from the Lord Himself. I now finally realize I am nothing more than a sinner, and I have offended God. In the past 20-something years of trying to be a good person, without Christ, would not save me. So I ask God for forgiveness and salvation. God changed my heart to look in the work of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of my sins and salvation, rather than looking for the world standard of morality. Now with the Holy Spirit within my heart, I look forward to growing closer to God daily through His Word, through prayer, and through my new family with Bread of Life. So thank you all. Bless you. God bless you.
Matthew, do you profess repentance towards God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation? That is, by God's grace alone, that you're saved?
I do.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
By God's grace, I will.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to Matthew, Lord. We thank you for your grace, which you demonstrated in his life in something as simple as a fixed key on his keyboard. And Father, we pray that this would be his experience each and every day, that he would know you in such an intimate and close way that he would not consider anything as being too small or too big for you, Lord. I pray that his relationship with you would grow and flourish and blossom each and every day, knowing, oh God, that there will be setbacks and there is an enemy who would seek to steal and kill and destroy, but knowing also that greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. We pray, Father, that you would pour out your grace upon him each and every day to know you more, to grow in his knowledge and his understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. We pray, O God, that also as baptism is a sign of the sealing of the Holy Spirit, that you would stir up in him the gifts that you've given him. Lord, you know the gifts that you've uniquely gifted Matt with, and we pray that he would use those gifts for your purposes and for the furtherment of your kingdom on earth. We pray, oh God, that you would use him as a witness in the world, wherever you might send him to go, that you would use him as a witness in the church of the reality of a transformed life. We thank you, Father, just for the great work that you've done in his life and the goodness that you've demonstrated to the Adamo family. We thank you, Lord, that you're in his testimony is a fact, is a demonstration of the fact that it is your goodness that leads to repentance. And we thank you, O God, for his life. We thank you for his death in Christ. And we thank you for the new life that you give him with the risen Christ. And we pray that this baptism would be a seal of his already confirmed faith. Matt, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.
Andrew, do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you're saved?
I do.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
I will.
Let's pray for Andrew. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother Andrew, Lord. We thank you for your goodness in his life demonstrated in the fact that you've saved him, Father God, that you've opened up his eyes. Lord, even while you've not yet saved many in the same position that he is in, who day by day go through the motions of living a Christian life or thinking that they're Christians or just living assuming under the presumption that they're Christians. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony that you've done in his life that it's not about what we're raised, it's not about what we know in our heads, but it is the your work in a heart of a regenerative miracle work, a new birth. We thank you for that. And we pray for him, Lord, that as he goes forth in your will, guided by your Spirit, that you would go before him, that you would be his shield, his guard, his protection. He's a young man, Lord God, and he's going to be tempted by this world. He's going to be tempted by its many temptations and lusts and all of the things that would try to steal and rob and destroy this work that you've done. And I pray, oh God, that at those times you would bring to his memory this testimony that he gave today before the congregation and this seal of baptism, and that it would remind him of the work that you've done in his life, and that it would stir up anew the work, the reality of the new birth that you've done in his life. We ask this, Lord God, because we know that we all are going to go through seasons of trial, that baptism or becoming a Christian does not make us a perfect person overnight. We're conformed to the image of Christ gradually, and part of that process is going through trials. So we pray that he would never forget the work that you've done that and sealed in this baptismal work. And help us, Lord, as a church, as we see our brother, help us to encourage him in his sanctification. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Andrew, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.
Evan, do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation? That is, by God's grace alone, that he is saved? Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
I will.
Let's pray for Evan. You know what, Grace, why don't you want to come up? You can get a little closer in and get some participate in this prayer that way, as the Lord is making the two of you one. Just come a little bit more to the center and back so we can go get your head on the steps there. Let's pray for Evan. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness in opening up Evan's eyes to the truth of the gospel. We thank you that your goodness is manifested to him in many ways, Lord. Your goodness to all of us is undeserved. Grace is your undeserved favor. And he will, if in accordance with your will, if they be married this year, he'll have a reminder of that in the name of his wife to be, of the grace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Pastor Bill and his heart and mine and Denise when they named Grace this, and he'll have this reminder of your grace forever before him. And I pray, oh God, that at the times of trial, at the times of temptation, at the times when the enemy would try to upset Evan's faith, that he would remember your grace. And your grace alone, which saved him and delivered him. We pray, oh God, that you would be you would show yourself strong in his life, that you would stir up the gifts that you've given him, that he would be a blessing to the kingdom, to your church. We pray, oh God, that you would use him for your glory among his family that yet remains unsaved. We pray that anyone that would even witness this baptism, that he might know, whether through audio or video, Lord, would be touched in a special way, that they might know of their need for you as their Savior. We ask, oh God, that you would that this baptism would be a significant time in his life that he can always look back to remember your grace. And Father, we ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. Evan, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we baptize you. Yes.
Now we will have our other round of testimonies, beginning with Dolly Bell. And we're very grateful for her and bringing her to us from New York every Sunday. So we look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, everyone. So I wrote something here. I wanted to read it to you guys. So I grew up Roman Catholic, but didn't really kind of it was cultural Roman Catholicism, but didn't really believe in God. So I'll start here. I wanted to be perfect, and I tried everything to be good. I did what I was supposed to do in life, according to myself and the expectation of others. I usually ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner, stuck to and occasionally broke my exercise routine, drank water as much as I could to remind myself to, didn't drink very much soda or eat too many sweets. I went to a prestigious college. I did fairly well. I was a first-generation college student. I was pretty popular, usually treated people kindly, partied hard on Friday and Saturday nights, occasionally smoked and drank to celebrate a hard week and forget my troubles. I jumped from one boyfriend to the next to keep around company, bought stylish clothes and shoes, was diligent about my finances, looked into graduate school options, went to therapy to release my stress, hugged my sisters as much as I could, traveled as much as I could, practiced Buddhist chanting, took a bartending course, moved back home after college, spent more time with my family, all to be good, all to reach for joy. But for many years, in the quiet of the night, I slept with distress and anxiety. Each morning, I woke up in sadness, and if no one was around, I silently wept for extended periods of time. I thought I was doing everything right, and I said to myself, what am I missing? I thought I knew and did so much, but none of these things built peace in my spirit. When things were falling apart in my life, I realized that living my whole life trying to be good wasn't good enough. I stumbled quickly on small stones, and at my lowest, I could not bear the burden of my sadness. The Lord showed me that the life I was building had such a weak foundation, and that His foundation could withstand absolutely everything. My faith in the Lord only happened with Him revealing Himself to me and knowing His word. It came from me surrendering my entire life to Him and saying, "Dear Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't live like this anymore." Through God's grace, I no longer find peace in things of this earth, because after understanding who my Lord and Savior is, I can only find peace in His glory, ability, strength, and wisdom. I learned that the Lord loved me regardless of who I was and the sins I'd committed. I learned that the Lord has carried me through my quiet storm, and I've learned that the ways of this world cannot be my own, because it is only through Him that my spirit has been cleansed. My immense awe in the Lord's gift only brings me forward in servitude and in serving Him. Surely, if the Lord gives me 80 years of life, my greatest hope is that my entire life can be a testament of the reasons that I will leave this world in total peace. My desires in this world have changed. There are things in this life that I did that I no longer care for, and things that I wanted that I no longer want. My desires have changed. My joy lies in fulfilling the plan the Lord has for me. I want to leave this world knowing that He'll welcome me into the gates of heaven, saying, "Good job, Dolly. I have been saved. Yes, I have been saved from the evils of this world. And entrusted in God's mighty grace, there is no way I'm looking back."
And now we'll hear from Brother Ed Larson. We're also very, very grateful for him, and we look forward to hearing how God has saved him.
Hi, my name is Ed Larson. I'm grateful to be here by the grace of God. I grew up in a Dutch Reformed church, actually, and went to Sunday school. And I never really thought of God. I just said, yeah, it's something that had to be. And I dated a lot of girls. Been married 3 times in my life, and a lot of living relationships and that. But I never really thought about Jesus Christ and God, you know, His Father, and too much about anything. I used to go to church and try to seek out God, and then they start talking about politics, or start talking about money, or start talking about what I could do for the church, or send me a bill in the mail saying that please donate more money, you didn't donate enough. And I just, like, I had enough. I couldn't take it anymore, and I just got away from mostly church. I used to go outside the St. Pius Church at nighttime in my car and pray to God, thinking that, you know, maybe He could hear me more. God gave me, I lost sight of my one eye, and I got a little bit more than half a sight in my other eye. One time growing up, I had a big mass in me, in my body, and they thought that it might be cancer because they took two pictures, x-rays, and I prayed to God, but I wasn't sincere by praying to God. It was always me. I wanted it for me. But for some reason, God answered me. The next time he did an x-ray, it was gone. They couldn't figure out why. But now I know differently, because one day I was in, I go to the Foundation for the Blind School, and I help out people there, and I met this girl named Lori DeMarco, and we started talking about faith and religion, and I got interested in what she was talking about. Like, I wanted it, you know? And she gave me this guy's name, Frank's phone number. So one day I finally called there, and Frank answered, and he said, "Listen, I got somebody I want you to talk to." And I said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Please, please." And it was Rob from here. And he lived in, I guess, New York. And I started talking to him, and he started talking to me, and he says, "How about if I pick you up and you come to my church in Wayne?" I said, "You're going to pick me up all the way from New York and go to Montville?" I says, "This can't be true. This can't be true, you know?" And sure enough, he showed up. You know, he made like saying, "Oh, this guy's not lying to me. He's not fibbing to me, you know?" And I came to this church here, and I was with open arms, you know, greeted. And I said, "Nah, it's just probably another one of those things, and probably going to be a cult, I don't know." I said, "Let me see what happens, you know. Let me give it a chance, you know." And when you had the body of Christ and the blood of him, you know, when we celebrated it here, I was afraid to do it. I was afraid, well, maybe it might be like that Kool-Aid thing. I take it and I'll die. You know, and this is actually what I thought. And then I started to see people, well, they're still alive. And I said, "Well, I'm going to continue to come here," which I did. And as I grew here, I started learning that I wanted Christ more in my life, because I've seen so many people. I've seen people come to me with smiles. I said, "What kind of drugs are they on? Always smiling. Always smiling." I couldn't believe it. And, you know, guys hugging guys. And I said, "Oh, my God," you know. And I said, "Well, I'm going to keep on coming. I'm going to keep on coming." Then I started talking more to Rob. And then he introduced me to Eli. And Eli started to pick me up from my house. I couldn't believe that either until he started picking me up. Then I said, "Well, I wonder what it's going to cost me for him to come pick me up and drive me to church every day." And he kept on saying, "Nothing." I says, "What's wrong with this, you know?" And everybody doesn't want anything from me except me to go to be with Christ, God. And then what really blew my mind one day, I come into church and I said, "Wow, this something's going to be different here one day." And Pastor Joe stood up here and he said, "You're not here because of me. You are here because of the gospel and what I'm going to teach you." And that blew my mind. It says, "Not here because of him." Why is he saying he's nobody, you know? And that's what grabbed my attention more than anything. And I just kept on coming and kept on coming. And I grew to love being here and grew to love that, to respect the church, that it is God's place. You know, I never had that much respect for a church before. And I'm just, by the grace of God, I hope I keep on thinking, geez, I'd never want to go to that eternal hell. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to be in an eternal hell, burning in fire or total darkness. Or I'd rather really, really do my all to do what Christ wants out of me. And that's what I'm here for today, by the grace of God. And I thank everybody here.
Okay, and our final testimony this morning will be from our dear sister Patricia. And we look forward to hearing how God has been blessing her in her faithfulness to her life.
Hi, all. For those of you that do not know me, I am Patricia. I started attending this church, as I hope some of you will come back. I came to see a friend being baptized in the summer of 2011. It was no coincidence that ADL was being baptized the worst summer of my life. As you've heard before, some of us have grown up in Christian homes and we think we're good. You know, we know the ins and outs and we know what we have to do and we'll do it one day. One day, but for now we want what's fun. So my entire life consisted about me. What was the new thing I was going to do? Shopping, vacations, getting married, having a child. I had no room, no desire for God in my life. I mean, I didn't think I was a bad kid, but I just had no desire to do anything that he called us to do. One of the passages I started reading during this trial, because it was a really bad trial, was in 1 Corinthians, and it's about love. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. That's when I realized that I had no love in my heart. That's when I really realized I was a bad daughter, I was a bad sister, and I was even a worse wife. And God was kind enough to let this trial come into my life so I can feel completely depleted. Everything that I held as my idols, my gods, my vacations, you know, a new car. I was obsessed with a lifestyle, not with anything worth. It was all stripped away from me, from my marriage to my job to insecurities of where am I going to live? I have a daughter now. And then I started praying because my roots, you know, I remembered pray, pray, and God will answer you if you read the Bible. I started reading and one day I came upon Psalm 30 verse 5. Weeping may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning. I just remember crying so many nights and thinking, God, please help me. Please take me out of the situation. Please change me. When he was actually helping me, he brought this storm to show me how lost I was and how everything I was doing was pretty much pointless and leading me straight to hell. I started experiencing so many nights where I couldn't sleep, where I was so stressed out during the day I couldn't function at work, so that didn't last very long. And again, asking God to please help me, reading his word, I found, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. What this meant for me is my entire world is coming down, and here he is telling me, I just have to trust in him. All I have to do is trust in him and surrender. Last year, no coincidence, I'm getting baptized January 13th. Last year, this day was a Friday, and I thought I was a Christian, and I just remember doing something that showed I still had so much hate and resentment and bitterness in my heart. And I just thank God so much for saving me. Just a full year, a full circle, only by his grace showing me, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I am excited to share with anyone here that God does change you. Like, we can't change ourselves. I mean, therapy, anger management, self-help books, they all backfired on me. So I'm here to tell you that if you just have faith, all you have to do is pray, and he'll instill in you like what you have to do. It's not, I always thought it was too hard. I thought I couldn't do it. Oh, I wasn't ready to be this like Jesus fanatic. I'm not. I'm just so happy now. I'm at peace. I can sleep for the most part. And I want to leave you guys with this. This is one of the joys of coming to God, that you know this horrible person you've been for the past 30 years, well, now 32. But in Revelations 21:5 it says, "And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Today, the angry, out of control, you know, all righteous, all judgmental Patricia, you guys are going to witness that person die and a brand new one come up, because he promised he's making all things new. Amen.
Dolly, do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that it is by God's grace alone that you're saved? Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
Let's pray for Dollaville. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness in opening up Dollaville's eyes to the truth of your gospel, of your grace. Father, we, from her testimony, see how she sought after so many different things in this world and in this life, which ended up on dead ends and empty places. But Father, in your goodness, you used all of that to show her that there is a path, there is a road, there is a way that is right. There are so many roads in this life, and so many ways, and so many paths. But all of those roads and paths are just proof that there is a right way, there is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, as she, in her testimony, spoke of her desire to hear at the end, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord," that she would know that on the basis of her faith and her faith alone, that she is dead with Christ, buried with him in baptism, and raised with him to the newness of life. And that in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ ascended on high and is seated at the right hand of you, O God, our Father, that in the same way we shall be like him. We shall all be raised. In a moment, things will change. This corruptible body will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. And we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We shall become like Christ, and we will see him as he is, and as he extends his hand to receive us, we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because of Christ, because he was the good and faithful servant.
Thank you.
We pray, Father, also, as she is brand new to the faith, we pray especially for your guard and protection on her. We pray, O God, that you would protect her in your grace and knowledge, that she would grow in her understanding of your word, and that the understanding of your word would only more and more conform her to the image of your Son as she's changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. We pray, O God, that that this step of baptism would be significant to her, as she could always look back to it as a reminder of what you've done in her heart. We pray that you would be greatly glorified in her life, and in accordance with your will, marriage perhaps, Lord, that be within your will with John. We just ask you, Lord, for all of these things to work together for good in her life, as you promise they do, so that we might be conformed more to the image of your Son. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to our new sister, and may this baptism be a seal of the faith that you have given in her heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dollaville, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you. Thank you.
Patricia, do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection? Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that you are saved? Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all the days of your life of this church?
Let's pray, Patricia. Okay, let's pray for our sister. Heavenly Father, thank you for our sister Patricia. We thank you, Father, that the good work that you began in her in seed form, even while she was young and hearing the word, that word did not return void, but it accomplished all that you desire. It brought her to the place where she is today. It brought her to Christ. We thank you, Father, that you brought her here to witness the baptism of her friend, ADL, and how that began a work in her life of conviction of sin and the need for change. We thank you, Father, that in the midst of every trial that you have shown yourself faithful to her to the end, to carry her through those trials, both before salvation, before she was saved, and after. If ever there is an evidence of your goodness and of your grace, it is in her life as we see your goodness even in the midst of those trials. We thank you, Father, how you showed yourself, showed the word to be true, that you indeed work all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And our sister is called according to your purpose. And we thank you for that. We thank you for her life. We thank you for her death in Christ and her burial in Christ. And we thank you for her new life in the resurrected Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that as indeed you have done, made all things new, that she would walk in this newness, that as she comes out of this water, reminding her of her union with Christ and his resurrection, that you would help her on a daily basis to walk in the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help her to make her decisions according to that fact. Help her, Lord, in all that she undertakes with her family and work and friends and all of it, Lord, to consider those things through the fact of her being risen with Christ and all things being made new. We pray, O God, that you would seal this today in these waters of baptism, that as a church we would remember to pray for her, we would remember to encourage her in Christ, we would remember to encourage her in the gospel, reminding her of the grace which comes as an undeserved favor in her life. We thank you that while she was yet a sinner, Christ died for her, and we're thankful, Lord, that it was in none of the goodness that she thought she had is she saved today, but simply and perfectly by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross on her behalf. Help her to remember these things always and remember this day in the midst of trial, in the midst of difficulty. We ask all of this, Lord God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Patricia, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be baptized.
Ed, do you profess repentance toward God and faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection?
I do.
Do you recognize that there is no work, including this work of baptism, that qualifies you for salvation, that is by God's grace alone that ye are saved?
I do.
Will you, by God's grace, trust Jesus Christ and follow him all your days as part of his church?
I will.
Amen. Let's pray for Brother Ed. Father, as we just sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We're reminded, Lord, by our brother who, through much trial and even to the taking of his sight or most of it, that though he be physically, visually impaired, we may say physically blind, that you healed him of his spiritual blindness, yes, that he might be able to say, I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. And Father, thank you that his testimony is such a evidence of the varied means that you use in the body of Christ to save a soul. For Lord, as he saw in Brother Rob and Brother Eli and all of those that here touched his life, what he saw ultimately was Christ. For you tell us as your body that as much as we do it to the least, we do it unto you, and that we are your body. We are the body of Christ. So Lord, thank you for using the members of the body of Christ to open up our Brother Ed's eyes to the truth of your gospel. We pray, Father, that this baptism would be a sealing of the faith that you've already given him, a faith that has been tested, a faith that has been examined and shown to be genuine, Lord, a faith that is resting completely upon you. We pray, O God, that any time he might be tempted to take matters into his own hands, to try to live the Christian life on his own, that you would remind him of the amazing grace that we just sang about as his baptismal song, Lord. That he would hold fast and cling to this song, Amazing Grace. Father, this was the song that you gave me when I was baptized and that they sang. And I, every time I hear it, I go back in my own life to remember that I'm only here by your grace and your grace alone. We need that reminder, and our brother is going to need that reminder. I pray every time that he hears it sung or heard, hears it on the radio or hears it anywhere, it would remind him of the sealing of his faith in the waters of baptism. We pray, Father, as a church, that we would continue to be a light unto our brother, that we would continue to love him and bear his burdens, that we would continue to be Christ to him as he has the opportunity now in Christ to be Christ to others. We pray that you stir up the gifts that you've given him, that even in perhaps his limited physical abilities, that, Father, we know that your Holy Spirit gives gifts to his church, and we pray that you would stir those gifts up, that he might be able to use them for your glory and honor. We thank you, Lord God, for his simple faith, his simple trust in Christ alone. We thank you, O God, that you are so good to show us this in our in saving our brother. It's not about how much he knows in his head, Lord, but what he knows you've done in his heart. And we thank you for that. May this baptism be a seal of this, and may we help him to remember this day when he is in need of it, when he goes through trials and temptations and doubts. Help us, Lord, to remind him of this day. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ed? I'm going to go backwards, if that's okay. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we baptize you.
Our prayer for all this is that you go home realizing that God is indeed mighty to save. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.
Amen.